No, I think that's wrong. I used to think that way myself. I think it is totally evil. Totally evil. What are the good things? Tell me. Give me an example. What is the good thing?
Perhaps they would help out third world countries who are too poor to fend for themselves.
Yeah, but this usually is in the form of loans with conditions attached, and they basically take over the country. They almost never do anything disinterestedly, you know.
And at the same time, perhaps they do the worst things like...
genetic engineering, nuclear power, nuclear weapons, bombing Yugoslavia last year. Totally criminal. If you remember, they blew up a radio TV station in Belgrade. The United States blew up a TV station in Belgrade. And they don't even claim it was Russia. They say we deliberately did it. This was not a legitimate TV station. This was just Milosevic's private propaganda war machine. This was not a real TV station.
They can make just anyone appear the worst person in the world.
And I believe they did that not only to show their power in Yugoslavia, but they want to intimidate radio and TV announcers all over the world. And, geez, if I start talking against the U.S., maybe they'll blow me up in studio too. Because they blew up the TV station above it, killed at least 16 people, injured many others. In that one act, the United States repudiated everything that it claims to have stood for 200 years. For over 200 years. And they may do it again. They may do it again. And they'll just say, oh, Fisher was in this station there. He took over the minds of everybody. And he turned it into his own hate propaganda machine. That's why we blew up that radio station in Manila when Fisher was giving an interview. That was nothing to do with freedom of speech. Oh, no. That was a hate propaganda machine that Fisher had turned the station into.
So you're not afraid? So they might...
No, you're supposed to ask me that. Anyway, Bob, among the young chess grandmasters today in the world, if you're exposed to a lot of them, who do you think are the best? From what country?
I really wash my hands of the old chess. It's a dirty game. If you know the amount of prearrangement, I know you probably don't believe me, because you hear from everybody else what a great game it is, that this so-called title match, and that blah, blah, blah. But if you knew the truth, you would run when you know chess mentioned.
So being in a sports station like this, what do we tell the young guys? Don't take up the old...
Right, don't take up... You know Paolo Banco, he's a friend of mine in Hungary. And he was a great chess player. He still is a good chess player, but he was a great player. He played in several candidates tournaments, and he beat me three games, but I beat a lot more. But anyway, he had a son, a very smart son. I know his son. His name is David. His son got interested in chess. He told him, "Dad, I want to take up chess." Mm-hmm. And Banco said, "His father said, don't play chess. It's not a good game anymore. Just a lot of prearrangement and memorization, plus lots of politics. You have no chance. Forget about it." So a great chess player who loves chess, who plays chess and who composes problems night and day, he's always staring at a board, always working on new endgame strategy, he told his own son not to take up chess. That tells you something, that the game is no good anymore.
Do you agree with that, Eugene?
Yeah. I believe that
his son wanted to take it up, and he discouraged him, and even added, "Don't take it up."
I believe that
that's unheard of, right?
Yeah.
Because you're from a family of broadcasters, right? Suppose your father said, "Don't become a radio broadcaster."
I'd probably get confused.
Yeah, he says, "No, good. Don't do it. Don't get into it. Become something else. Become a doctor, a lawyer." Well, what do you think then?
No, because I want to play in a game where the real game is its creativeness, you know, between the two opponents. The talent, not the preparation and not the possibility of damaging your eye because of so much preparation, you know.
And in politics, where does it come in?
What?
In politics, Bobby claims it's too much politics in chess and all that. Is it obvious here, or is it what's happening now in our country, the chess world in this country?
Well, because since all chess is easier to rearrange, then some more possibilities, you know, of like that. And also,
the higher you go in the old chess, the more cheating there is, there's more is on the line. As you go down lower, there's less cheating.
Like, for example, like the women's, Bobby believe that the women's, more honest player, you know, more honest.
Generally, I don't know about these Russian Jewish women, but generally women are much more honest in chess than men. I think there's a lot less prearranging in chess among the women, because they hate to lose, and it's not just a cold-blooded business transaction the way it is among the men. You know, I lose today, I get the money, next time somebody drops his game to me, and so on. The women, when they lose, they cry, they really put their ego into the game, which is good.
It's good, right?
You see, a lot of people have been asking, but do you have a game mo?
Or these past few years, you haven't really been showing, you haven't been coming up with some good showing. Is this one of the reasons?
This is one of the reasons I'm quite disinterested, you know, in the old chess. I don't have the desire or the, you know, to study so much because it's all preparation.
And cheating, you know, he doesn't want to get involved in the world of cheating.
Yeah, the cheating, and then it can damage your eyes, you know, when you prepare so much. But actually, I'm still the highest rated player. Of course, rating is, you know, but sometimes it, because maybe you've read that from the Philippine Chess Federation, they try to make a big, you know, impression of sometimes when you play bad, they make a big thing about it. But actually, how come I'm still highest rated like that? Or, the thing is, I play only a few tournaments, you know. And, okay, sometimes maybe I'm not that successful, but I'm there, I'm just there, you know.
We have a question here from a female caller, a female fan. From the land of romantics, Bobby, you never got married. Do you have someone special today? Or no?
I want to keep all the doors open here if anybody wants to get in touch with me.
Well, he's still handsome, ladies and gentlemen. You saw him in the old pictures. He's still good looking. Where do you plan to spend the rest of your life, Bob?
Yeah, I don't know. Just like
any European country, any Asian.
I've been in Hungary for the last, most of the time I've been in Hungary for the last, about eight, since 93. So I don't know. I don't miss America very much at all. I really don't.
You want to hear some bad news about Hungary and Romania? Well, you know, this little gymnast that they have, they were sent home because of
drugs. Yeah, that's interesting. Have any Americans been sent home?
Not yet.
Yeah, I have a feeling that's the politics. No.
But anyway, regarding this, it's kind of cheating, no? This, when you put...
Well, Ben Johnson, I read an article by him, you know, the runner who was disqualified in Korea.
He started it all.
Yeah, and he was very bitter. I read this a couple of years ago. He said, I just got caught, you know, doing what everybody else is doing. Mm-hmm. And he says, there are certain athletes that don't test, they're untouchables, you know? I don't know. Are they testing everybody now, or is it just random?
Well, they say that they're testing everyone.
Well,
especially the winners, especially the gold medal winners.
Yeah.
Say, Bobby,
who's testing them? The Australians, right? Who politically are very close to the U.S. Who is doing the testing?
The organizing committee.
Anyway, this Samaranch, the U.S. could easily have pushed him out over these scandals in Utah. And so on, but they didn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's indebted to the U.S. I'm sure if he's told to go easy on the U.S. athletes, he will.
So, Bobby, regarding this, you were reminding me about the Yasser 01. You remember in 1992, he was talking also about Garry Kasparov or Garry Weinstein?
Oh, yeah. Why don't we bring that up? That's interesting.
No, because that was interesting also. That's why... I remember that. I was surprised when he was talking about it.
He claims not to believe in what I say. Everything, you know, Karpov and Kasparov is prearranged.
Right. So, how was that? He also mentioned the thing, no?
Right. He mentioned that Kasparov himself offering to pay somebody to give a Russian player a draw.
was Nick DeFirmian, Grandmaster Nick DeFirmian from the U.S. Asmai Parashvili, a Russian, who was helping Kasparov. And so I think Asmai Parashvili was offering some money to Nick DeFirmian so that the game will be drawn. But Nick DeFirmian was not sure if the game would be drawn, if he would qualify, you know. This happened in 1989 or 1991 qualifying tournament of the GMA. Anyway, as Sarawan told the story, Nick DeFirmian did not want to draw, no? So Asmai Parashvili was very angry that he did not want to draw, and so he went to Kasparov. He told about this thing, no, to Kasparov. And then Kasparov, I think he went to Sarawan, no? I said, what was this?
I think he went over to Fermi, to double the money, whatever his original offer is. I don't understand. Why don't you say, what is it?
Kasparov said, I don't understand, no.
And Sarawan is privy to all this, and Sarawan is thinking to himself, he says, I don't believe this. Doesn't he know that I can expose this?
Oh, he can write in
yeah.
magazine.
So he was telling us the story about how Kasparov was trying to get involved in real game, not one of his own games, but between two other players, because he got a lot of money, Kasparov, you know, no problem. So him to give the money, but now the same Sarawan, he's claiming he doesn't believe what I'm saying, that all the Karpov Kasparov matches are prearranged move by move.
But anyway, Dick DeFirmian did not accept, you know, the money offer or to draw the game. But eventually, the game, I think, ended in a draw. And anyway, I think the two players qualified, you know.
Mm-hmm. If you say money is offered here and there, does that mean they're bet on...
When you say money is offered here and there, does that mean that there are bets around, there are bets
on... This I don't know. I don't know about the betting aspect.
There's betting everywhere in the
there may be this also in chess. I don't know about that. I never got into it from that point of view.
You're trying to offer money to opponents.
Yeah.
I suppose you must have some good bets going on there, you know, to...
Yeah, possible, yes.
Well, anyway, considering that Mr. Kasparov has consistently topped Mr. Karpov, especially in important tournaments, some people suggest that he would have beaten you too. Is that a fair conclusion, Bob?
You're talking about the old chess, but
the old chess.
First of all, these games he topped Karpov all through your age, so what do they mean? They mean nothing.
Okay. That was clear enough. What do you do for fun, Bob?
I like pop music, I like walking, I like reading, talking.
Do you enjoy Baguio City?
Yeah, nice, but I was a little disappointed.
Because of the trees,
not a lot of trees and the air pollution, you know, because of the automobiles and trucks. But this, again, is the fault of the Jews in the U.S., because I remember already going back to the 60s, they were promising us pollution-free cars by the turn of the century everywhere. I could read dozens of articles about that, and then instead of giving us pollution-free cars and trucks, they've given us the internet, you see, to distract us from their broken promise. I would much rather have pollution-free automobiles and trucks than the internet. Making the internet sound like it's the greatest thing that's ever happened. People are still getting asthma and dropping dead from cancer and every other disease from all the all cars and automobiles from this whole petroleum-driven economy, because the Jews control these big oil companies.
Anyway, gentlemen, we have very few minutes left. Bob, this has been crapping up like anything. This is from the telephone. What was your greatest match?
I think my greatest match was my last match in 92 against Spassky in Yugoslavia.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. First of all, I hadn't played for 20 years. From that point of view, I did the impossible, utterly impossible. But secondly, on its own merits, leaving that aside, I think it was my best match.
How about those real games from the old chess? Who do you think was the best opponent you've ever gone up against?
Me personally or in history?
Can you have both?
Well, I'm a big fan of Morphy, Paul Morphy. in history, and also Casablanca, but especially Morphy. And for me, who is the greatest? Well, this Paschi is a very, very, very great player. The reason he went down after I beat him in 72 was deliberate. He has done this on purpose, on instruction from the Jewish world government, because he, so to speak, is my horse. See, but if he does well, it looks good for me, right? If he does badly, it looks badly on me, because who the hell did I beat in 72, right? I beat a bum, see? So he deliberately has done badly since I beat him in 72. Well, he had one good result, he won the Russian championship, but that was also deliberate. I believe that was set up just so that, either set up or allowed, I don't know which, but just so that it wouldn't be too obvious that he was deliberately taking dives for the rest of his career after he lost to me. Because if he went down, he was a much more talented player than this Coach Knight. And I think he may even be a little younger. After I beat him, he went straight down, and this bum, Coach Knight, went straight up his career. This match is, Coach Knight's match with Karpov and Batman was totally prearranged.
I hear about this thing. Almost all the opponents that Bobby beat then, how come they say that they lost their minds after? What do they mean by that? Literally? did they lose their minds because of Bobby's strategies in the game?
No, I think more of especially Larsen and Taimanov, because they lost 6-0, you know.
Why did they say that? Did they even lose themselves?
It's exaggeration.
Has this man beaten you ever? Have you ever played
tournament? We never played. No.
Any friendly game in Baguio? Perhaps while waiting?
No, not that shit. We played some friendly games.
But look, he has more of a future on them.
I want to get into this robbery of my stuff in storage, just for those beacons. I have a couple of incredible documents here. As Beacon, they're probably the biggest moving and storage company in the world. Mm-hmm. I believe more and more that it's owned by the goddamn Rothschilds themselves, mm-hmm. which are the richest family in the world. They're Jews, of course. They opened up some new branches in Hungary, and I took out a couple of their ads. And look what it says here. It says, Beacons, AES Moving, this is dated November 18th, 24th, 1999. Beacons, AES Moving and Storage, worldwide moving, car registration, work and residency permits. Now, what the hell is that?
Work and residency, yeah. And permit for work.
Yeah. Work
and residency, they're only storage company.
Yeah. Moving. To me, I thought governments gave you police or some kind of authorities. Gave you these permits, work and residency permits, vehicle registration.
Maybe we're really getting into that thing they call New World Order.
Yeah, right.
The beginning of the end.
What kind of a private... I am saying that Beacons and the U.S. government and Bob Elder are in cahoots. And here's more proof. Where the hell does this Beacon, a private company, private moving distribution, get this power? And also,
it's like a quasi-blah-blah-blah.
Yeah. I have never heard. Have you ever heard of a storage company that can give you work and residency permits and vehicle registration? What is this?
That's too much power.
And also, it's very... I've been staying in Hungary a lot, right, the last years. So this is an ad was in the Budapest Sun, a local English language Budapest paper. It's a big ad. AES Beacons, worldwide transport moving, antique transport and storage, self-storage, work and residency permits, vehicle registration. Have you seen your mover's warehouse? Wonder why? Feel free to visit our warehouse, with or without an appointment, anytime. So they're trying to show openness and transparency. When they robbed me, I was their best customer, kept my stuff in there for 12 years, paid them over 10 grand, and they won't even answer me what they did to my stuff. They won't even respond to my facts. And they're pretending that they're open and transparent. This is a big buzzword now, and I'm at openness, transparency. There's even an organization, I think, called